titled By Faith, three-week series titled By Faith, and then after that we'll actually get into a book of the Bible we've been missing, so we're going to go into an Old Testament book after that. But I want to start a three-week series titled By Faith. Did you know this? Did you know that there are 31, I actually think there's more like closer to 40, but 30 to 40 Christian churches in the Cyprus zip code 77429, all right? 31 is what I counted. And any church that would self-identify as teaching the Christian gospel. 31 churches, Methodist, Bible churches, our non-denominational friends, our Assembly of God friends, our Baptists, our Presbyterian. 31 churches, 31 pastors, 31 churches with 31 emphases, I don't know. Kind of sounds like Baskin-Robbins, right? 31 flavors, you choose. So what's our niche? Do we have a niche? Are we the ones with the hip pastor? My kids would say, no, we're not the ones with the hip pastor. Are we the ones with electrifying worship, awesome kids ministries, best coffee? I'd say maybe on that one, right? But folks, what we want to do is this. We want the Bible to define our niche, right? Colossians 1 helps define and shape our ministry vision. And in Colossians 1, it reads this way: we proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I want to begin this morning by explaining why I'm preaching a three-week series titled By Faith. Let me just be really honest. At the end of this three-week series, I'm going to ask our members and regular attendees who have not yet made a financial commitment toward our new church building. I'm just putting it right out there, and if you're visiting for the very first time, I'm sorry that you're hearing something about money, but we're getting ready to move into a new building, and let me continue why I'm teaching a three-week series By Faith. Here's why. In 2016, I preached an eight-week series titled By Faith that culminated in a dinner and artist renderings and a video of what our new building would look like. At that time, 30 to 35 individuals or 30 to 35 families committed to giving toward what we now see at 13515 Huffmeister Road. And we're actually on target to meet that financial goal. In 2016, our building was a dream. In 2018, it's a reality. In fact, in our members' meeting, I'll give you some actual more information about why it's a reality. Since 2016, our ministry vision has clarified. Our leadership reflects the biblical norm, a plurality of elders, a plurality of pastors. Our deacons' responsibilities are well-defined. Since 2016, our Sunday morning attendance, this group right here, has grown by 55%. There's about probably 140, 150 or so right now. We were at 90 2 years ago. Our children and student ministries, depending on which one you look at, have grown by 100 to 200%. I didn't see how many student kids went out for our kids' church, but regularly we'll have 40-some kids in kids' church, not counting the nursery. Our life groups are our small group Bible studies. We're going to start studying through the book of Romans here. Our life groups have grown by 75%, and this is probably the most encouraging thing to me about that, and that is this, is that we're actually prepared. If we were to grow another 70%, we've got four or five, or actually we have more than that. We have life group leaders who have been prepared and equipped and are ready to begin new life groups, new small group Bible studies. And so it's imperative, Grace Life, that we remind ourselves why we exist. Why do we do what we do? Are we just angling for a certain percentage of the overall Christian pie? No. Or are we allowing the scriptures to define our vision for ministry? Yes. And so our message this morning is simply titled this, A Vision for a Church in Cyprus. A vision for a church in Cyprus. And my 3 points are 3 questions. Very simple. They are these: can we talk, can we walk, and can we send? Now I want us to begin reading in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, where Jesus says this, "When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority has been given to me. What we see here is this, is that doubting believers and worshiping believers are commanded. Did you get that? That when they saw Jesus, some worshiped, some doubted, and yet to both crowds, Jesus gives what we know as the Great Commission. So wherever you may find yourself, if you're a follower of Jesus, these next few words are for you. Doubting believers and worshiping believers are commanded to make disciples. That is, Jesus did not divide the really serious Christians from the less serious Christians. The command is to every follower of Jesus, regardless of education, regardless of experience, or regardless of geographical location, that all believers are commanded to go and to make disciples based upon the authority that Christ has been given. All believers are commissioned based upon Christ's authority. That is this, folks, that there is no crown or scepter to which Jesus bows the knee. That you can have a prime minister, a president, a chancellor, or supreme leader, but there is no higher title and higher name than King Jesus. There are no borders defined by governments to which Jesus submits, molecules, planets, star constellations, weather patterns are all under the authority of King Jesus. So whether it's galaxies above, whether it's waters below, whether it's the world metropolises, London, Montreal, Beijing, Mexico City, Dubai or Mumbai, even your subdivision, whether you live in North Lake Forest or Cypress Point or Stablewood, it all exists and it remains under the kingly authority of Christ. Which is why the theologian Abraham Kuyper wrote this, that there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." It's all Christ. And here's what Jesus is telling his worshiping, doubting disciples, followers. He's saying this to them, that each believer is expected to make disciples, or let me put it this way, or followers of Christ. Look at verse 19. He says this, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." These are Jesus' final words before he ascends into heaven. So Grace Life, our Lord's last command is our first concern. Now, in your English Bible, and I would assume this is true if you have a Spanish translation in front of you, in our English Bible, the verb, right, school starts tomorrow, so let's get into grammar for a second. Look at verse 19. It says, go therefore, and it appears that the word go is the verb. Like, this is the main point, go. But that's not the verb. In reality, in fact, let me just read it this way, how it should be translated, or could be translated, let me put it that way, how it could be translated would be saying something like this. Going, therefore, here's the verb, here's the command, the imperative, make disciples. The imperative is this, that Jesus gives to his followers, be his last command, our first concern. What is he going to say to us last, right? We always want to know, when somebody's about to leave us, what are their final words? Those are the most important words that they're going to say to us. What is Jesus going to say to us? He's going to say this to us, church, make disciples, make followers of me. So whose responsibility is it to make disciples? Well, Mosier, that's why you're the pastor. It's your job to make disciples. Partly. Well, that's why we have elders. It's their job to make disciples. Yes, it is their job. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see that this passage here in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, there's no parenthetical expression, there's no footnote next to it saying, now this is for the pastors. This is for the dudes who go out and plant churches. This is for the kind of the hyper-spiritual ones. You know those types? No. This is for all Christians everywhere. Your job, if you're a follower of Jesus, is your job to make disciples. It is not primarily the pastor's job. It's not the Sunday school teacher's task. It is a pastor's job to equip you to do the work of the ministry, which is to make disciples. It is your responsibility, Christian. And so as we begin this series titled, By Faith, I want to paint a picture for us this morning. Is what is Grace Life about? What are we about? Do we have our own little niche? Or are we going to allow the Scriptures to make our own niche for us? I feel like I need to make an apology on behalf of Christian pastors who I think more oftentimes unintentionally, but maybe sometimes intentionally, I don't know. I need to make an apology on behalf of Christian pastors who have communicated that once you repeat a sinner's prayer, that your responsibilities are now complete. Or that if you've been baptized, that's kind of the finish line, and you're good to go. Christian friends, can I say this to you? That when you were saved, that's not the finish line. When you were baptized, that's not the finish line. That's the starting line. It's the starting line for you to follow Christ. And one of the ways that you can identify followers of Christ is they make other followers of Christ. So whether you've been a follower of Jesus for 6 weeks, like, I don't even know those songs. Like, the screen went off. What's going on with those words? I don't know those songs, those words. Or whether you know all the words to every song, or whether you've been a Christian, a follower of Jesus for 6 years or 60 years, Jesus' intention for you is that you would make disciples. And he's going to tell us what that means in just a moment. But first, this whole first point is titled, Can We Talk? Christian, we will never get to the point of making disciples if we cannot have gospel conversations. Because gospel conversations lead to gospel conversions. And gospel conversions is how you make disciples. Jesus did not say to all the world, go into the church, right? He said, to the church, go into all the world and preach the gospel. No one was ever born again through silence. I want you to think about your testimony, how you became a follower of Jesus. Someone said something to you. Someone spoke something to you. My parents, when they became followers of Jesus, it was because a neighbor started talking to them. Can we talk? In fact, I would say it this way. Occasionally people will say to me, "No, I've tried inviting this person to church and I just can't get them here." I want to relieve you of the pressure of that. The pressure is not for you always to get them into the church because I'm somehow the super evangelist. God's plan and intention is for you to communicate and speak the gospel. That's how God plans on making followers. So gospel conversations, that's why I say to you, brothers and sisters, can you talk? Can you speak of Christ? Because gospel conversations lead to gospel conversion. So a church committed to God's vision for itself is committed to gospel conversations. And long before we make converts, we must make friends. So I say this, that Grace Life exists to advance the gospel by evangelizing, discipling, and commissioning. Number two, can we walk? Can we walk? Can we walk with those who have been born again and see them become fully developed and devoted followers of Jesus? Look at verse 19, this great commission that Jesus has given. He says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So that's how you know when you're making a disciple, is that you're teaching people to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So because Jesus has this authority, what does he say to his followers? What's the very first word? It looks like a verb, but it's actually a participle, I think, right? It's verse 19. What's the very first word you have in verse 19? Go, right? So because Jesus has this authority, he says to us, go, or going. And here's what's fascinating about this word go. It's not a command to go from point A to point B. He's not, at least at this point right now on Sunday morning, he's not telling you, "I want you to go to Syria. I want you to go to," and you name the country, "and start a church." That's not what he's saying right now. He's saying, "I want you, while you're going, to make disciples. While you're going, I want you to teach. While you're going, I want you to baptize." So you say, "Mosier, what do you mean, while I'm going? Going where?" Well, some of you are going to go out to lunch, I would assume, after we're done. While you're going to lunch, make disciples of those around you. While you're talking with your neighbor over the fence, make disciples while you're going. When you pick up your Starbucks tomorrow morning, and you're while going, make disciples of that barista. When you get together for your yoga, right? Make disciples there. Your hairdresser, make disciples. Your waitress, your bank teller. Friends, this is not just a passage for those people that we bring in and we send them to other parts of the world. It is for them. But this is, while you are going, make disciples. Doesn't this fit so well with the passage in Deuteronomy 6 where God says to the nation of Israel and to parents to teach their children how? While you're standing, while you're sitting, when you rise, when you lie down, when you walk. That is this, to make disciples, brothers and sisters, it's not some grand and glorious scheme of a 12-week discipleship plan. It's living Christ while you're living life. To be a good evangelist, you don't have to go somewhere to do that. It's just while you're living life, speak of Christ. Look at verse 19 again. It reads this way, "Go therefore and make disciples of whom? Of all nations." And this is why we kind of get the idea that this going is kind of getting into a 747 and flying across boundaries and borders, or trekking across mountains to get into other area restricted access nations. It's where we get this idea, because he says, make disciples of all nations. Do you know what the word nations is there? It is this. Let me read it to you. This: "Go therefore and make disciples of all," see if you recognize this word, "of all ethne." That's the Greek word, "of all ethne." Make disciples of all ethne. We get our word ethnicity from this. Ethnicity is a people group. It is not, ethnicity is not defined by a color of skin. Ethnicity is a people group with its own language and its own culture. Jesus' expectation is that Christian people become uncomfortable in their culture and enter other cultures in order to make disciples. It's not that we make unbelieving people come into our territory so that they're on our safe space. It's that we enter their territory and befriend them on their territory. Now, if our city was mono-ethnic, maybe what we would say is you have to go outside of the city to make disciples of all ethne. But praise God, he brought us to a city that represents the world. Praise God that in Grace Life Church, there is a little smattering of what heaven will look like. In fact, I would put it this way. Folks, you cannot live Matthew 28:19-20 living a monocultural life if you don't learn how to eat other foods and learn other customs and learn to say no to whatever you expect as the norm. You'll never make disciples of all ethne. So this is where you step out of your culture and you enter other people's worlds, eating their foods, learning their customs, enjoying their music. I would say in some small way, some of you are very forgiving of this white dude from Wisconsin who doesn't speak much Spanish at all. Folks, if we are going to continue to be representing what Jesus expects of his church, and so I would put it this way, right? If the Christian church, if they say, I don't know if this is still true, I think it may be true, but if the most divided time ethnically in our church is Sunday morning, or in America is Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, I wonder, are we fulfilling Matthew 28:19-20? See, what Jesus is expecting us is that our unity is around Christ, not around our cultural distinctives. And so let me state this bluntly again. I think this is on the PowerPoint, that Grace Life and those who are in covenant membership with her, that we exist to advance the gospel. How? By evangelizing through gospel conversations. Through discipling, right? This is the can we walk? By discipling through gospel community. And here's how we, at least here in this church, are defining gospel community. We define that through our small groups. our life groups where we study the Bible. We just go verse by verse by verse. We study the Bible. What is Jesus teaching us here? And we try to live that out. Well, how do we know if we have made fully developed and devoted followers of Jesus? Well, verse 20 is the standard, because it says this, that we are to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So to make a disciple, right, there's no way you can do that in a 12-week course. To make a disciple is to be teaching on an ongoing basis everything that Jesus has commanded. It's for our children, for our students, for one another, right? For those around us who know Christ. And finally, I want to conclude with this final question. So it's, can we talk? We have gospel conversations that lead to gospel conversions. Gospel conversions leads to gospel discipleship. Can we talk? Then can we walk? That is, can we walk together? Folks, let me say this. A church that is reaching new people for Christ, those are messy churches. Why? We've got lots of babies around here. Babies are really cute, and they smell awesome until they have dirty diapers, right? Babies are cool, but babies aren't so cool when they have messy diapers. Baby Christians, oh, let's just be honest, not just baby Christians, older Christians, we got messy lives too. And if we're going to teach gospel doctrine must be accompanied by a gospel culture. And a gospel culture is where it's not surprising when people sin. Of course they would sin. That's what Jesus tells us we do. And so a gospel discipling church has to have a gospel culture where people are free and feel okay to confess the issues that they're struggling with. Finally, lastly, can we send? I see it in verse 20, where Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And it is that last phrase there in verse 20, which defines for us that we know that this commission wasn't just for those immediate 11. That this command is to the end of the age. So as long as we're living, as long as there's life on this planet, this commission is still in effect. It still stands 2,000 years later because of Jesus' promise that his presence would be with his followers until the end of the age. That is, for 2,000 years, the Christian church has referred to this passage as the Great Commission. The pathos, the emotion of this passage is this, is that our God sends. Our God loves. Our God gives, right? John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The heartbeat of our God is sending his own Son to rescue and reconcile repenting sinners to himself. That is, folks, so here's the point about can we send? We talk about evangelism and discipleship and now commissions. That is, gospel commissions are the natural result of those who are fueled by the gospel. Like, of course I'll go. Why would I not go if I've been rescued from so much? So here, as covenant members of Grace Life, we evangelize pre-believers. I love that. We disciple Christians. And we commission servant leaders. And here's what I mean by commission. We set apart every covenant member, singles, retirees, moms, dads, students, children, volunteers, Sunday school teachers, life group leaders, mission trip participants, missionaries, even missionaries, church planters, pastors. We commission all of these groups of people. So when we have commissionings to send Carlos to Dalhart, that's one. But here in two Sundays, we're going to have all our life group leaders up here, and we're going to pray over them. That's a commissioning of sorts. When we bring our students up and send them off to camp, that is a commissioning of sorts. When we bring our moms and dads up here, when we do baby dedications, that's a commissioning of sorts. When we train Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and childcare volunteers and kids church volunteers, that is a commissioning. So friend, the commission, the great commission is given to all of you. All of us. None of us falls underneath the sound apart from God's voice. Friends, there are 7.6 billion people on our planet, of which 3.1 do not have a gospel presence. And this is why we train, and this is why we disciple, and this is why we work, and this is why we pray, because we ask God, in your providence, in your kindness, would you allow some from this congregation, this small congregation, would you allow some to go and to be sent to other parts of the world so that those people can proclaim and worship the glorious name of Christ? This is what we long for. This is what we desire. So, if 3.1 billion is a little bit overwhelming, which it is for me, let me bring it home to us today. Last year, 2017, in our city, in the city of Houston, for 52 weeks, 2,000 people a week moved into our city. Folks, a megachurch is defined by, if I recall, a megachurch is defined by anything over 2,000. Folks, you could plant a megachurch a week in the city of Houston and not keep up with the city itself. Of our nearly, 6.7 million residents in the greater Houston area, I love this fact. Some of you are sitting amongst us. 1.3 million of those residents in our city were born outside the United States. More than one in five of that 1.3 were born specifically in Asia. And you say, Joel, why does that even matter? Because we want to make disciples of all ethne. That's why it matters. Folks, we have a golden opportunity here at Grace Life. Not because we're something special, but we have a golden opportunity to see the Great Commission advance because of where God has providentially placed us. So is there a place for Grace Life in Cyprus? Can we be one of the 31? The answer is emphatically yes. If we will be an evangelizing, discipling, and commissioning church, and if not, if all we are is got a good kids program and good coffee, then may God close us down. For those who depart from God's mission depart from God's heartbeat. And so I want to conclude this way by way of application. Because the whole point, the whole structure of the message was this. Can you talk? Can you walk? Can you send or can we send? But it's not really a matter of, do I have the ability to do that? Can I? Can we? It's more of this, will I be obedient? And so I want to flip the question and say it this way to you, friend. Will you talk? Will you walk? Will you go? So I want to rip this idea out of your brain. I want to rip this out of your hand. If the idea of being a follower of Christ is I show up on Sunday morning for an hour and a half, then I go on my merry way, Kick that to the curb, man. That has nothing to do with Christ. Followers of Christ talk the gospel. We walk, that is, we disciple. And then we say, Lord, here am I, send me. We train our children. We teach those in our care. This is God's heartbeat. Would God allow Grace Life by faith to be an evangelizing, discipling, commissioning church? May it be so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. There's so much in here that is weighty and heavy. So much in here that's glorious and grand. So much in which we sense and feel in our hearts that we fall so far short. Lord, give to our families the seeds of loving our community and allow them to come into greater fruition. Loving the